Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, July the 9th. Another very warm day here in North Texas. Humid. I think that's the part that probably makes you more and more uncomfortable. Today, I have a post coming out Wednesday morning about the U.S. women's soccer team. And, you know, on one hand, I congratulate these ladies, but I wish they would just keep all the politics to themselves. I really don't want to know all the politics they're involved in. And it looks like they're a highly politicized group and very much a group from the left, which I find interesting because I don't think that most of the fans who support the sport are really that much into politics. They just want to watch a good game. And I think personally, I think this current team is doing a great deal of harm to the sport itself as it tries to promote the game with young women across the country. We'll get into it in a minute. Very important story that came out today, and that is the founder of BET, which is Black Entertainment Network, I believe, or television, BET. It's I think it's Black Entertainment Television. I guess an African-American network that has grown to be a very successful business. Well, the owner or the founder of that particular network is a gentleman by the name of Robert Johnson, who right now is basically saying that the Democrat Party has moved too far to the left, that the party has simply gone too far to the left. He's actually also praising President Trump for the economy. He's saying the economy is benefiting a lot of people that had not benefited before. He's obviously talking about minorities, blacks and Mexicans and Hispanics in general, but particularly African Americans is what Mr. Johnson was talking about. And he was praising President Trump. And, you know, he was not making any predictions. He's not into that game. But he's clearly making it very clear that the Democrat Party is moving way too far to the left. And as a consequence of that, they're going to put themselves out of the mainstream and may very well lose the election to President Trump. Now, I happen to agree with that. I happen to agree with that point of view. I was on Telemundo over the weekend, and we were talking about this, and I said, look, your party is a lot more concerned about illegal immigration than you seem to be about legal immigration. You know, your party has gone way out of the mainstream with respect to abortion, with respect to some of these social issues. And most Americans, I mean, they're interested in justice and they want fairness. But I think you've gone too far in all of these topics. And I'm glad to see that somebody like Robert Johnson, who cannot be criticized for being a white Republican. I mean, this is a man who the last time around supported Hillary Clinton. And I think this is clearly a voice that I think the Democratic Party needs to hear. Whether they'll listen to it, I don't know. But this is clearly a voice they need to be listening to, because the party is moving too far to the left. The party is detaching itself where I think the mainstream of the country really is. Let's talk a little bit about the U.S. women's soccer team. You know, at this point, I really don't care anymore about their politics and how they've tried to use their positions of visibility to promote their politics. I don't know if they're going to go to the White House. I think they should. I think it would be good for the soccer federation, the people running this thing, the ones who have to go out and sell women's soccer to sponsors. I think it would be very wise for them to go to the White House, for the team to go to the White House. If certain players don't want to go, that's their choice. They don't have to go. But I think it would be a good example for young women across the country who are obviously into soccer. I think it would be a good example for them to show that women's soccer is about sports. It's not about politics. And that's one of the problems that we're having in our society today, that I think the left is making everything about politics. You are either with us or you're against us. It's kind of an interesting phrase, because at one time they used to say that President Bush, George W. Bush, used to say stuff like that, and they were all very offended when President Trump said, "You are with us or against us." That was with respect to the fight against terror, of course, or certainly when he was speaking to the Europeans about the fight against terror. And here you have the Democrat Party is basically doing that. You're either with us or against us. And if you're against us, we're not going to go to the White House. We're not going to support anything. We're going to boycott you and all of that. Again, I don't think this is good for the young women who play soccer. The millions of young women across the country who are inspired to play soccer because of the wonderful work of these athletes who just won another World Cup. I think the big question right now for this sport and why I think they're being very short-sighted in politicizing everything, the big question right now is can they translate this victory into, let's say, forming a women's pro league that can sell tickets. They have not been able to do that before. The fact is that this is not the first time they won the World Cup. They won it in 99. They won it in 2015. And they were never able to take that success, to take those very high ratings of the World Cup game and turn that into a profitable women's soccer league. And I think they have an opportunity to do it now because, you know, let's face it, the more and more young women are playing soccer. So more and more young women are probably going to be interested in watching it on television or maybe paying a ticket to go see the game. But the more politicized they make the sport, the more politicized they make themselves, I just think that's going to turn off a lot of people, particularly the sponsors who don't want to be handed politics. I mean, if you're a sponsor, you make tennis shoes, you make whatever, uniforms or whatever, you don't want to get involved in politics. You don't want to be, you know, upsetting one side or another. You're just interested in selling merchandise or selling a product, selling shoes, whatever. You don't want to get caught up in the politics. And right now, the women's soccer team has become way too politicized for its own good. And I wish that some sanity would prevail. And maybe, again, the people who run the soccer foundation, maybe the coach of the team, maybe some of the players on the team would rise up to the occasion and say, hey, we got to go to the White House. We got to stop the silliness of playing politics over everything. Megan Rapinoe, whatever her name is a great athlete, but I think she's a real burden on this team. And I want to say one last thing. They had great ratings for this game, but the ratings were below the ratings from 4 years ago. Now, 4 years ago, they were playing on prime time, and it was a different game. I understand that. They had maybe a better time to show a soccer game because they were playing prime time. And today, this weekend, they were playing at 10 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning when a lot of people go to church. So maybe that had something to do with. But maybe a lot of people like me across the country are saying, you know, we're just sick and tired. We're darn sick and tired of having to listen to all this politics. We're just sick and tired of it. And we want nothing to do with it. And maybe that's catching up with the team. I sure hope so, because I don't think this current crop, this current roster of players is doing the team and the league and the whole idea of women's soccer, frankly, a lot of good. One quick note, we learned today that Attorney General Barr is apparently said that there is a way of getting that citizenship question into the census. I sure hope they do, because I believe in that citizenship question. I think you have to have an idea of who's in your country. And the one way to do it is to do the census. That's the whole point of the census, is to find out who's in your country. So I hope they can manage some way of getting it in. And I hope they can. I hope they can figure it out. Because, again, you have to know who's in your country. Bottom line, you have to know. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, again on a warm, humid day here. Man, I can deal with the heat, but that humidity has got to go. Well, I want to tell you about a couple of people who passed away here in the last 24 hours. Let me begin with my friend Joel Ackerman. Joel moved to Dallas at the end of 1983, and his wife Rosie and their two children. They are from Mexico City. They moved here in 1983. He went on to work in different places, had different practices. His wife was a very well-respected and well-known English teacher here in some of the English as a second language programs. And they were just wonderful people, absolutely wonderful people. And Joel Ackerman passed away a couple of days ago. He had been ill for some time. So it was not a shock. I mean, I think that everybody was more or less anticipating his passing. But nevertheless, it's still, you know, you there's a certain sense of shock when you get the news that your friend has passed away. So we attended the service today at the temple here in Dallas. Of course, they were Jewish. And it was a very interesting ceremony, by the way. I had never been to one before, so for a Catholic boy like me, it was kind of an interesting ceremony to see how it was. The music was absolutely beautiful, I'll tell you that. The music was just absolutely beautiful. But Joel Ackerman was just a really nice person, someone who made a lot of friends, someone who always had a smile, always had a great attitude, and he was always there if you needed him. He was always there. He was also a huge soccer fan. As I remember, he used to watch a lot of soccer matches on television, but just a great man, somebody that you could count as a friend, somebody who was always going to be there for you as a friend. And I'm going to miss him a great deal. I used to see him a lot on Friday mornings when I went to the Grupo Internacional de Dallas breakfast. I'm going to miss him a lot because he was always a lot of fun to say hello to. By the way, we recorded a podcast, and I'm trying to put it up or put it up on for listening, and we're working on it a little bit. But we recorded a podcast with Joel about 9 or 10 years ago, talking about the story of his father, who had come to Mexico, and like many of the World War II immigrants, many of the Jewish immigrants who came to who left Europe, of course, they were running away from the Holocaust. So very interesting story. I'm going to try to put it up. I think you're going to enjoy it a great deal. Well, the other big personality who passed away today was Ross Perot. He was 89. Mr. Perot had lived, I guess, in relatively quiet here for the last 10 years or so. We didn't hear much about him. I don't even know if he got involved or he even supported anybody in the last presidential election. But Mr. Perot, of course, was a very successful businessman, made a name for himself as a businessman. But then in 1992, he decided to run for president as an independent. He got 90% of the popular vote and arguably ended up defeating President Trump for re-election. I mean, President Bush, I should say, for re-election, the first President Bush, because, you know, he basically took 19% of the popular vote. And I think you would agree with me, and most experts tend to say so, that most of those votes came from George Bush. Had Perot not run, probably, I don't know what percentage, but a good number, more than half of the 19 million, perhaps even as many as 60%, would have probably voted for Bush. Now, many would have stayed home. They wouldn't have voted for Bush or Clinton. But I think most of them would have voted for President Bush, and I think it would have given President Bush a re-election in 1992. Close re-election, but he definitely would have been re-elected. So Ross Perot, quite a personality, a man of – had a great sense of humor, I'll give him that. And a man who made a big difference in 1992. He was probably, more than anybody else, responsible for the election of Bill Clinton. And I've often wondered what he thought about that. I don't know if he ever wrote about it, but I wonder what he thought about the fact that he put Bill Clinton in the White House. And I know he was not a big fan of Bill Clinton. Well, thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.